Thank you, Howard. I grew up in a time, and I know young people get tired of hearing this, like, we were back in the old days. Shut up. Anyway, I grew up in a time where, in the 70s and 80s, where we kind of lived our lives the way we wanted to live our lives, but we didn't have a lot of money. Does anybody remember what I mean? Like, for example, our favorite shampoo, and I'm telling on everybody, was that Suave. You know what I'm talking about? And when you got down to the very end of it, you pour water in it just to get that last little bit out. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I was there. Well, I grew up, and if you ask my family, like, you know, what was Paul's favorite meal or whatever, I always went to, like, pasta, kind of, but spaghetti or beefaroni. That was probably my most favorite growing up. Well, my mom would make spaghetti, and she made spaghetti the same way we did the hair thing. She'd get a bottle of Ragu, and that was your spaghetti. You know, you get the noodles, but you get the Ragu. But you didn't just use the Ragu. You poured a lot of water in there to get the rest of that. So it's just real runny, but we didn't know any better. We just thought, man, this is great spaghetti because Paul loves spaghetti. David loves spaghetti. Danny loves spaghetti. We didn't know what my sister loved, but she loves spaghetti too, I guess, I hope. Anyway, I didn't realize it until I got married. And one of the first things that Margie made as a meal was spaghetti. Now, when Margie made spaghetti, first off, when it came on the plate, it wasn't that pink color from the ragu that had been thinned out. It was like this deep red color. It had big chunks of meat in it. There was cheese melted over the top. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what? And so I'm sitting there, and my mom even told her, said, well, Paul won't eat anything but ragu. It's like, well, I didn't know any better. Now I don't even know what ragu is anymore. I think, what do we use, Prego or something? I don't know. We use whatever it is. It's thicker, it's tastier, it's better. You know what I'm talking about, better? Have you ever had something and then you didn't realize, you thought, man, this is good, until you find out that there is a whole nother level, okay? We used to have a steak place, Western Sizzling. And I thought that was good steak. I mean, I worked there when I was 13 in the kitchen. It was down there in Forest Park, way down the road. And the steak would come out like this, but it was like this thick, right? And I didn't realize it till I started dating Margie, and we finally got our first, well, we got married, we got our first paycheck or whatever, and we decided we were going to go to Ruth Crisps. Ruth Expensive is what it was. Anyway, we went there, right? I didn't realize steak could be that thick, be that tasty, be that tender. In other words, I thought what I had was good, but there was better. You know what I'm talking about, better? We live on the other side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We look at it from a historical standpoint. We saw that he lived, and then he died and was crucified, and he was buried, and then he rose from the dead, and we live with that. It was good that Jesus came and showed us what God was like. It was good that he told us what the kingdom of God was like. But you know what? It's better that he has gone to prepare a place for us. It is better that he was risen from the dead than being born. In other words, what we thought was good now is better. Can you tell what I'm going to talk about today? Better. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's scary. But I want to tell you, it's better. It's better. The song that we sang, it's better one day in your courts, in your house, than 1,000 anywhere else. If you could make your life better, what would you change? What would you change this year to be better from last year? Pretty much anything, right? Because last year was a total just wipe it out, right? Financially, relationally, physically, what can we do to, you know, this is good. You know, getting up and walking, that's good. But getting up and walking every day, after every hour or something like that, is better. It's better for our health and things. As we pursue our life, sometimes we look for these things. We look for comfort. We look for enjoyment. And we look for things more in a material way. But Jesus is telling us, I have something that's even better. You know, God says that in John 3:16, he loved right? He gave, right? We believe, right? We live, right? And we think like, okay, it's going to be so much better when we get to heaven. No, we have a better life starting right now. Our life in Jesus Christ has changed. We're different. We've been given new life. We've been given a hope. We've been given something, and it is better. And so today, I want us to let go of what we think is good. Let go of the good so that we can grab hold to what is better. As we spent time over the month of March praying an hour every day, I saw that it was better for us to be a praying church than a church that just kind of hopes and wishes. It's better to be in God's presence than it is to be just in the world. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip down to 10, say this. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Listen to this. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper, which was one of the lowest forms, you know, the person at the door, wash the feet, everything. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And those of us that still kind of dwell in the tents of the wicked, let's bring that home today, is we're living in this world. What is this world giving us? The world's giving us this illusion. It's like giving us the suave, or the suave, whatever, and getting, mixing it with water and using the last little bit, and we think it's good. But he's saying, no, man, I got the, I'm a Breck girl. You know, remember Breck? What's the one they drop a pearl in and it would just, Prel. Okay, well, anyway, I'm a better shampoo than suave. I'm a better steak than Western Sizzlin'. I'm a better. And better is to be in the presence of God Almighty than it is to be in the world, because what the world gives us is not important. We think it is in the moment, but we find out it leaves us unsatisfied. When we talk about the courts, better in the courts, in the temple, When God dwelt in the temple, he was in the Holy of Holies. And the closest that the people, the Israelites, could be to the presence of God was in the court of the temple. They would gather in the court because they couldn't get any closer. If they did, like a couple would sneak in there and they ended up dying. And even the priest, on the Day of Atonement, they would have to wrap a cord around the high priest so that if he went in there and all of a sudden it quit jiggling, you'd have to pull him out and he'd be dead, because he went in there not prepared to be in the presence of a righteous, almighty, holy God. But the courts, where it says to be in the courts, to be in your courts, it symbolizes the very presence of God Almighty. Problem is, many people don't believe that today. Yeah, better to be in the court of God. I don't know. I don't see him. I don't feel him. If he would just pop up and answer a prayer, or if he would do this, then maybe I would believe it or not. What we do is we look around and we say, no, you know what? I'm having a good time in my life right now. I'm living the life I want to live. I'm living large, man. I'm doing what I want to do. I am the king of the road. I am the boss of me, you know? And we spend our time partying and having a good time. Rules, they don't apply to me. You know, rules apply to everybody else. You know what I'm talking about? You don't believe me? How many of you will go faster than the speed limit? Oh, just one, Dave. No, all of you do. Don't tell me a lie. All of y'all go faster than the speed limit. But here's the thing. When that person in front of you is doing the speed limit, you're mad. See, the laws apply to him, but they don't apply to me. Oh, what do you mean I didn't come to a full stop? I looked around, there wasn't anybody coming, so I just kind of shot on through. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because the rules don't apply to me. That's the way we live our lives. God has given us his rules. He said, you know what? If you want life and you want it abundantly, stay in the center lane, right? Stay in the center lane, because it's going to be easy to go this way and this way. You're going to be pulled in all kinds of directions. You're going to see crazy stuff on the side of the road, crazy billboards, crazy things. You're going to see all of that, right? But I want you to stay focused here. But what do? No. We're looking this way, that way, this way. We're looking for answers everywhere but where God is. You know why? Because those rules don't apply to me. Maybe when I get old, maybe when I'm cramming for my exams, maybe when I know I'm this close to going, crossing that river, then I'll kind of settle down and get it right. But right now, I'm living my life. And God is saying, no, 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 no. David in his psalm here is saying, better is one day in your presence, in your court, than anywhere. Even in the tents of the wicked, where all of this worldly stuff is going on. His ways are better than our ways. It's better because God's ways are higher than ours. His love, the song, one of the psalms says, his love is better than life. Scripture says that. His blessings are better than any material possessions that we can get. A day with God is better because we have Christ in our lives for the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins, which have separated us from God in the first place, God has said, nope. Now that you're in Christ, I've got rid of your sins. As far as the east is from the west, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, it's gone, I've forgotten about it. A day with God is better because we have the security of knowing that we are now part of a better family, a family of God. A day with God is better because we have this unspeakable joy, not happiness. Happiness depends on the happenings or the situation we're in. And sometimes we'll find ourselves in situations where it kind of stinks. And we lose our happiness, but we could have true joy based on who God is. A day with God is better because no matter what's going on in your life, you can have a supernatural peace that passes understanding that the world has no idea. A day with God is better because of his divine calling and purpose in our life. He has set us apart. He has ordained us to go into the world and do these things. And when we wake up in the morning, we know that God knew us before our mother and father even knew us. Before we were even put together in the womb of our mothers, God knew us. He had a purpose for us. All the days of our lives were ordained and written in his book. And it says this in the scripture. And if you'll open up the scripture, you can find all of these promises. You have his power. It says that we have the same power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that raised Christ from the dead. You've got that power. That's better. That's better. A day with God's power is better because if you're a Christian, the same Spirit that raised Christ is yours. A day with God is better because we have his provision. He watches over us. He wants the best for us. Everything that we need, everything that God wants us to do, the scripture says that he will give it to us for a life of godliness. What I'm not saying, and I want you to hear me clearly on this, is that you will not never have trials. You will not never have temptations. You will not never have hard times. That's simply not true. In the middle of the storms, however, Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our anchor. Jesus is the boat on the waves that we can get into. In fact, I would rather be in a boat in the middle of a storm in my life with Jesus on the boat than I would be standing on the land and hoping there was no problem because I am with God, and I'm seeing the power of God in my life. So what does that mean for us today as Easter people? How do we have this better life? What is better? How do we have a day of life? Well, in the past, what I would have said, I would have kind of gone down to a couple things. Number one, you got to study your Bible. Open up your Bible, get into Bible study, do a devotion every day, spend time in God's Word. If you spend time in God's Word, then you're having a day with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer, communicating with God. Those would be my go-tos. You know, get in his word and pray. But the problem is we become a society of checklists. So what we do is some of us get up in the morning and the first thing we do is like, oh gosh, do I want to get up? Should I call in? What am I going to do? And Margie's like, no, Paul, you're the pastor. You have to be there. I'm like, okay. So I get up, I roll out of bed, and I open up my Bible. And I'm looking at my devotion for the day, or I'm reading through the Bible in a year, and so I've got certain Bible passages I have to do. So I read those, and I'm not reading them for God to fill me. I'm reading them because, okay, I've got to do my devotion and check it off. Oh, yeah, I better start with a prayer. Oh, dear Father, thank you for giving me another day. It's better to be on this side of the ground than on this side of the ground. Thank you, Jesus, right? And then I check it off. So I don't just say it's just reading the Bible and it's not just prayer. It is those things, but we have to be more aware. We have to live in an awareness of God's ongoing presence. In other words, Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Spirit of God is in us. And this is a hard thing for us to grasp, that once we are sealed in the Holy Spirit, we are His. And Jesus even says that no one could take them from His hand. But we start to think like, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I haven't done enough things. Maybe I haven't jumped through enough hoops, lit enough candles, said enough prayers, read enough verses. I don't know. And so we start to get separated, and that's where our enemy wants. Until we finally walk away, we get colder and colder and colder until we finally don't want anything to do with any of it. I want to tell you what is better. We have to, if you think that and are aware of the fact that God is with us every single moment of every day, then it will start to begin to change your perspective. You'll see God everywhere. For example, with cars, this happens. I got Margie a new car. I got her one of those Bronco Sports. Now, here's the thing about the Bronco Sports. They're not even supposed to be delivered until this summer, okay? Only people that had Bronco Sports are people that put in their orders. And the way we got lucky, we went in, someone had put in an order for one, then they wrecked their car and had to buy a new van before the Bronco Sport came in. All right? So we got this Bronco Sport. And I'm thinking, Margie, you are fine driving that Bronco Sport. You know what? Every time I turn around now, I go, there's a Bronco Sport. I went to 15th Street Pizza just the other day. There was a Bronco Sport in the parking lot, and it wasn't mine. I'm like, what in the world? Now I'm starting to see Bronco Sports everywhere, and they're not even supposed to be out. How unique is that? We see, we're aware of what's going on. If you are aware of a car, if you are aware of someone's wearing the same shoes as you or the same shirt, be aware that God is with you every single moment of your day. God is with you. And then that will change the way you talk. It'll change your actions. Because God is there with you. He's not watching over you like, well, I'm waiting to see you mess up. He's there with you. He's there with you. In the Hebrew words, they never said, there's no word in Hebrew for spiritual. So when you talk about a spiritual life, they just would have said life. They would have just said life. Because your whole life is a spiritual existence between you and God. But we compartmentalize. We have our work life, we have our home life, and then we have our church life. And we've compartmentalized. And to the Hebrews, that would have been like, you're crazy. Your church life or your spiritual life should be your home life and should be your work life. All of it is just life with God. If you go to work tomorrow, God is with you whether you want Him there or not. When you go home after a hard day and you're yelling at your kids or you're kicking your dog or whatever you do, eating the cat, I don't know, whatever you're going to do, God is with you. He's not just here and shows up on Sunday morning from 11 to 12. He is here with us every single moment. A spiritual life. Ask Jesus, show me my spiritual life, help me. It's ridiculous to label, well, this is my spiritual side, this is my worldly side, and sometimes it wins out. No, no, no. You have one life, one existence, and God is there with us. Dwelling in the temple courts. Why? Because we are now the temple of God. That's why that passage, better is one day in your courts. We are the temple of God now, and the Holy Spirit dwells with us. God is with us. Colossians, Paul says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever you do, does that cover your work? Yes. In whatever you do, does that your schoolwork? Absolutely. In whatever you do, the way I treat my parents or my kids? Yes. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is with you every single second. Your spiritual life is your life. It is better than us worrying about our job life, our home life, and then our church life. Because really, when you think about your church life, you just think like, okay, am I going to go to church? But then when you get here, everybody's happy. I don't care what kind of mood you're in when you're on the way here, but everybody's like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, man, good, good, good to see you. The minute you go out the door, you go back to your regular life. I told you better behave, and you didn't. I saw you doing that on the way home. Or maybe that was just me. My mom would get me on the way home. So how do we live with an ongoing awareness? And I'm going to give you three things. Number one, constant communication with God. That's going to go down to the, with the prayers. Constant communication with God. I'll tell you what, I don't have just a prayer time. I'm praying throughout the day, various times. There are some times when someone will stop me. I remember one time I met Donald. We went to Home Depot, and Donald's neighbor, who was battling cancer or something at the time, showed up to Home Depot, and Donald goes, "Hey, that's my neighbor. Paul, come over here." We prayed for him right there at Home Depot. We didn't wait till church time. We are constantly in communication with God. This is what Paul says in Thessalonians. Be joyful always. Be joyful always and pray continually. Continue to offer God prayer. You don't have to give a big pastoral prayer like Howard or Sandra or Steve or me or Edwin or Leo or anybody like that. Just pray. Do Twitter prayers. 140 characters or less. Oh, God, just help me today. I'm kind of nervous about going in for this doctor's exam. Just be with me as I go in. Boom, you're done. It's constant communication. Listen, how many of you, do you have your cell phone? Okay. Good. You're good and you're bad. Well, at least it's off. Okay, how many have one of these? Raise your hands. I want to see. All right? Got a cell phone, all right? How many of you, even when you go to the bathroom, you take your cell phone? Go ahead, raise your hands. I see, yeah. I know. It's with us 100% of the time. God is with us 100% of the time, but we're not talking to Him. In fact, on my phone this morning, I got two texts. I got two texts. One was from Steve saying, "Paul, don't forget to change your battery." And I forgot, and I had to go change it at the front. And the other was Margie, and she texted me during Howard's prayer, and it said, "Boy, you look good today." So, not really. She didn't say that. But you know what I'm saying? We got our phones with us in the bathroom. We got our phone with us beside the bed. Oh, it's my alarm clock. We're checking texts. We're checking locations. We're checking what the biggest sale on Amazon is of the week. We are always available by phone. But what about with God? He's available all the time. Open 24 hours a day, right? Pray about anything. God, you spoke to me with that worship song this morning. You just poured into my heart. That really meant a lot to me. Tell him that. He provided grace for you at work to deal with your boss as you were getting ready to go in, and you thought, like, gosh, I'll tell you what, Friday was horrible. I'm going to hate to go in on Monday, but God, I need your grace. And he'll give it to you. Look around. Maybe God will speak to you when you see people in need. Sometimes, you know, you pull into Home Depot or Walmart or something, you see a family begging for food. Sometimes you're like, okay, that's you say to yourself, oh, they're just out making money or something like that. But every once in a while, God's going to hit your heart. And you're going to pull over and you're going to give them money or you're going to buy them a meal or you're going to do something. Do it. That's God speaking to you. And then thank God. Say, God, you know what? Thank you for allowing me to serve them. And thank you for the blessings that you have given me because I'm not hungry. I've got a place to stay. I've got people that know me and love me and pray for me. In everything, pray continually. And I want to tell you, we don't thank God enough in our prayers because we're asking for stuff. We need to thank God. And then another thing that we're kind of lax on is asking for repentance. Oh, yeah, God's forgiven my sin, so I'm not even going to talk about that anymore, you know, because I'm just going to keep sinning right now, God, you know. I'm glad the flesh is going to be separate from the spirit in the end, you know, because I just can't help myself. But you know what? I really need that job. Ooh, I really need this to happen. No, like there's a barrier if we're living unrighteously, unconfessed sin, that our prayers aren't going to get to God. Thanksgiving. God, thank you for your love, your mercy, for loving me when I was unlovable. And then repent, repent, repent. We don't preach enough about repent. We come to church and we want to hear about the love of God. We don't want to talk about what we're supposed to do. Oh yeah, God sought after me. God is knocking at my door and it's up to me if I want to open the door or not. But we don't say, God, I am a sinner. Look at my life. It's amounted to nothing. Even Paul, one of the great evangelists of the time, probably the greatest evangelist in the Bible, and he's going out and he said, all of those things were skubala. It's trash, it's garbage. Actually, he used something stronger, poop, but he used a stronger word. But that's what he's saying. All of that is nothing compared to you, and I want to thank you for that. And I want to repent because I was the chief of all sinners. And we don't repent. So first, constant communication with God. Second, obedience to God. When God tells you to do something, do it. It says this in Galatians, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Giving money to someone in need. I run into people that I've taught all over the place. It's weird. Philip will be with me. Sandra's been with me a couple times, and someone will come up and say, like, Coach Cook. Or they'll say, Mr. Cook. Or if they knew me later, they say, Dr. Cook. And they come up and they're talking. And half the time I remember them. The other half of the time I'm like, I remember some things about them. We went to, we stopped at Truett's one time. And this big guy comes out. Cook! Picks me up, hugs me. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? He said, man, you changed my life. I said, really? He said, that day I got into a fight in your classroom. And you literally put me up against the wall. And I couldn't move. And you said, just calm down. When you calm down, I'll let you go. And I said, ooh, you know, because don't tell anybody. Because Sandra's sister is my boss, and I could get fired or whatever. But he was telling me, no, that really changed my life because I was out of control. I was kind of thugging it out. I was doing all of these things. And he said, that was a turning point for me because it was like, I mean, you didn't send me to the office. You didn't do anything. You just kind of broke us up. And the way you had me against the wall, I thought, well, I'll just hit him. But I couldn't move. And it's because I got these. My black belt, you know. And I'm like, Tobias, thank you, man. That's awesome. What are you doing now? He goes, well, I work for Chick-fil-A. And he goes, and what I do is I go to the different stores and I go and do the, you know, do some things like if they're short over here or if they do something over there. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. You never know when you're planting seeds in people's life. I don't. I mean, I wish I could go back to, I was telling Tony yesterday, I said, Tony, I wish I could go back to some of my early soccer teams and I would change everything the way that I ran the team. The way that I coached, the way that I did. I would certainly go back to my first 5 years of teaching and apologize to all of those students, you know? But you never know. Be obedient to God. Talk to people. Listen to their story. Be with them. And do what God says to do. As you get into His Word and you're in constant communication with God, He will speak to you. You have to learn to listen to His voice. Communication with God. Be obedient to God. When He says, go, go. Do what you're supposed to do. And then three, develop a desperation for God. How many of us, you know, we talk about He's the air that we breathe. He's the bread that fills us. He's living water. He's all of these things. And yet we're not desperate for God. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit is water for my soul. You know, there's a desperation. My soul yearns. It faints. My heart and flesh cry out. Why don't we desperately need God anymore? We look at our world going out of control. We look at our cities burning, and we look at all of the crazy stuff going on, and we live our lives by the news instead of the good news. And we're not desperate for God. We see the stuff, oh, how could this happen? Why is this going on? I'll tell you why it's going on. We're not desperate for the love of God. We're not desperate for the mercy of God. We're not desperate for the hand of God. And I go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Why don't we desperately need God? Because we have a taste not for God, for the righteous, for the holy. We have a taste for the world. We have a taste for the news. We want to know what's going on. We have a taste for the gossip. We want to get on Facebook and find out what's going on. What's the hottest topic? What's going on? Why this person do this? We live our lives for news, politics, the latest fads and trends. How many of you remember the 80s and parachute pants? How many of you had some? Oh, come on, don't lie. I know you did. We all get caught up in the fads and the things of the day, but we need to be caught up in God and His mercy. Develop a taste for God. In Psalm 34, you know what he says? He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, and my soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life, and my lips will glorify you. Again, look at those things in there for us. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my body longs for you. God, you are you, the air that I breathe. You're everything, and without you, I am nothing. Why go on? What's the point? Once you've had a day in the presence of God, once you've really spent time with God, you'll never want to do another day without Him. It'll be your best day ever, and you'll just want to get even better, because it is indescribably better to be in the presence of God than to be anywhere else. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would plant this truth deep within our hearts this morning, Father, that we would be forever different as your word begins to transform us. Father, I pray that as we look at this verse, that the Holy Spirit would set us free for it to work in our hearts, that we would be reminded that we don't just spend time with you and then go about our own normal activities, but God, we can talk to you all day long. We hear from you. We have this ongoing fellowship with you. And God, we can be different because we are doing life in you as you are doing transformation in us. Oh, I pray, Father, that we develop these disciplines so that we could be better lights, better salt. Father, don't let us settle for the good life. God, we want something better. We want to serve you wholeheartedly. We commit, Father, this morning that we will seek you first. We will put you first in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our deeds. And Father, I just pray that you would be with us as we spend holy time with you, and that all of us would begin to seek your will and direction in our lives. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.